Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Down to Biscayne, yikes, five on the floor, ride for my dogs, where here's the thing, you can check the score, hustle hard, couple scars, wearing bubble frogs, just like Buckley said, you in trouble, y'all, kept the role playing, got an all band, y'all seen the block, stop with one hand, and Pat we trust, it's power, have the guts, we here to bring the heat, y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
All right, welcome into Five on the Floor live here on the Five Reasons YouTube channel. Make sure you hit like, subscribe, and turn the notifications on. This will go to the podcast feed after. We appreciate everybody subscribing. Get to the details of all this in a second. I do want to mention Off the Floor. That's our Discord server, $2.99 per month. You get all the latest Miami Heat content in the season, and this seems relevant right now in the off season as well. We've got channels for that too, transaction channels, draft channels, and the like. So check it out. It's Off the Floor. It's the new Discord. Even if the Heat disappoint, we do not. All right, the Miami Heat lose game one in Boston, 114-94. I would like to say it was closer than that. It really wasn't. Miami gets off to a terrible start. Looked like a football score early. Was it like 14-0? They fight back in the game at certain times. Then it gets completely away from them in the third quarter. And then in the fourth, essentially DeLon Wright led a comeback. And, you know, they got it under the point spread for a little bit. They dipped under the 14.5, and then it went right back to 20. So we're going to recap it with everybody here. We will get into some of the comments. So if you're listening on the podcast feed, that's where that comes from. That's the YouTube channel. If you want to catch it there first, we do try to get the comments here on the screen and try to read a few of them if there is time to do so. But overall thought on this, I mean, the Heat are overmatched in this series. We knew that. None of us ran away from that. None of us picked them in this series. But to have an opportunity to win this series, the guys who are making the most have to play the best. And you got a pretty good performance from Bam in some areas today. And let's just say it flat out, Tyler was awful. I mean, I don't think we should sugarcoat this from the very beginning. Like, we'll get into the reasons why he was awful. Obviously, he played a role in them getting to this game because he played well in the play-in game, at least the second half of it. But the numbers, I mean, he was 4 of 13, 3 of 9 from 3, 11 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists. He was actually 2 of 10 at one point. He had some open shots that he didn't make. Seemed like they understood that if they just were physical with him, that they might get turnovers. He was just pretty much out of sorts the entire day. And, you know, look, you're not going to beat this team if, you know, a guy that, you know, is making that percentage your cap when you already don't have Jimmy, you don't have Rozier. We've talked about the lack of creation that entails. And Duncan Robinson is just a shell of himself right now. He doesn't even look like he belongs out there. He did make a couple of shots today, but it's not the same player we saw the whole season. So it falls on Tyler. And look, he's wanted that kind of pressure. He's wanted to be considered one of these three-level scorers in the league. And I'll just go to you first on it, Brady. Like, how did they take him out of it, or did he take it out himself? Because, look, I'm not saying they were going to beat a team that went ultimately made 22 threes, okay, 22 of 49. The Celtics made more threes than twos. They had 22 threes and 17 twos today. They just played that inside-out game to perfection. And that was 22 threes with Tatum making only one of them. If you take Tatum out of the equation, they were 21 of 41 from three because he was one of eight. But what did they do to Tyler?
You used a good word when you said physical, because I feel like that's kind of the game plan there when you're talking about what Boston has on the floor, what Miami has on the floor. Like the thing, the schematics out of Miami is like to be physical in the backcourt with their ball handlers. It's trying to just find ways to get them out of that, those pull-ups, out of those easy ways off the screen, out of those two-on-ones, and that's what they did with Tyler. I mean, they have a lot of good perimeter defenders, and they chased around the screen. They kept them in front of them, and we talked about it on Playback. I brought it up. There was 2 years ago where we talked to Tyler. There was a game seven between Boston and Milwaukee, and they had a Heat practice before that game, and we were talking to guys like, oh, like who – we're talking watch parties and who you're rooting for and this and that. And Tyler was like, I definitely know who I'd rather play. And it's because there's so much more advantages against a team like Milwaukee, where there's clear spots on the floor. There's easy pull-ups. There's dead spots. There's not a lot of advantages on this team that he can find. I'm just like, he's calling for a screen and they're switching to, you know, Drew Holiday onto him. He calls another one. Then it's a bigger wing. And when he's operating in drop, and it's kind of they're playing at the level and they're not letting him get to those pull-ups where he's kind of having to play, get the ball out quick. So it turns into a point where I think we start talking adjustments. And I know we've kind of went back and forth on this a little bit, but it becomes a point now where he almost has to be a little more off ball, where they kind of have to utilize him more into his spot up range, because that's the only counter really at this point. You cannot just keep running him into the ground on ball and thinking something's going to change. Nothing is going to change here. They're still going to be physical. They're still going to take away his shots on the floor. That you have to do that. The issue is they don't have a lot of on ball guys if you're putting Tyler off the ball. That's the issue you're sitting in right now. So that's the stuff they're going to have to kind of balance, I guess, over the next 2 days and figure out. But 100%, they are not going to beat this Boston Celtics team without Jimmy, without Terry, and having no offensive production from Tyler and Duncan. Like, that's your offensive production. And if it's not them scoring, it's them facilitating and putting you in a position to get better shots. So they need those guys. So now it just goes back to the drawing board and try to figure it out. But off ball, that feels like the only way right now, Ethan.
But how do they get them off ball, Alex, when they don't have Rozier? They don't even have Kyle at this point. Like, they're not putting the ball in Jovic's hands to make plays. We talked about that as a possibility before this game. Essentially, they're just treating Hero as their lead guy. I mean, that's kind of, I mean, we'll get into Hawkes in a second, because we all agreed, I think, that he had the best composure for this game. He kind of had the best attitude for this particular game. But I don't think Spo's going to get away from Tyler. I don't think he's going to get away from Tyler on ball until Terry comes back. And at this stage, there's just no way to count on Terry coming back. I mean, he's not playing games one or two, and I don't know for sure that he's going to play in game three. So what? So what do you do with Tyler now?
Yeah, the Terry thing would, of course, be helpful. And even the game three thing feels kind of like optimistic, right, that has been thrown out there. But besides that, I don't think going off ball for Tyler means he has a smaller usage. I'm 100% with Brady on this. I think the what he's saying is, like, Tyler is not creating advantages with the on-ball play. So you got to find different ways to get him going. And I think him coming off a screen is an easier way for him to get an advantage than to just, you know, like, do it one-on-one, where it becomes very predictable. Like, it's either the pull-up, the floater, or the pocket pass to Bam. None of those things are really available for him. And so he just kind of swings and then gets taken out of the play by a great guard defender, whether it's Derek or Drew. Like, those guys are great. I think he's got to force the issue more. And I'm not saying take bad shots. I think he's got to be constantly running around there and putting the pressure on them to stay on point with chasing him off ball and not making mistakes. I just think, like Brady was saying, that you got a better chance of creating a 2-on-1 or whatever, a 4-on-3, whatever situation it is, with him coming off ball than with him just trying to create it by himself. That doesn't mean it should be 100% off ball, but I would 100 definitely lean more off ball than on ball. It's not going to fix everything, but I just think you've got to throw different ways of doing it. And I think that includes, like, maybe, you know, Jovic setting up from time to time. I still think they can do more with him as a setup guy. I think, you know, and I'm sure we're going to talk about it, because I know you guys both hit it on Playback, which, of course, as I say, playback.tv/5RSN, or download the app to come watch games with us. Love needs to play a little bit more. And I think if at the very least you can play him next to Bam when they're throwing out the Porzingis-Horford lineups. I think they've got to do that. I don't think, again, one thing is going to change the direction of the series, right? But, like, there's room for adjustments here. That's what a game one is for, is to collect data. I'm sure you're going to hear Spo say that now. And I think, like, you're going to have to try to get a little bit more out of some of your guys. If Love and Jovic, you know, are guys who can be used, you know, as sort of offensive hubs to create for others, especially with the way that they like to cut, you know, have one of them spacing on the floor. I think you can create stuff out of that. I think you have to find a way to not be too predictable and you know, kind of change the look of your offense. I don't think they did enough of that tonight. Shout out Jaime, who we're going to talk about. But outside of him, like, they were not able to generate good shots.
They were on the floor a lot in the first quarter, like on offense, like on the floor. And I don't mean like in a good way, like trying to get a loose ball. Like, it's just losing footing, dribbling to nowhere, not knowing how to handle doubles, switches, anything like that. But we will get into the game of the night here. But before we do, I want to, since you brought up the Love point, let's just go to it now. We are all in agreement on this, okay? And we have been for a while. I don't understand the limitation of his minutes. I just don't get it. Okay, he played 5 minutes in the first half. Five. He had 7 points and 3 rebounds, I believe, in those minutes. He was 3 of 3 from the floor. I don't get it. He played 8 minutes in the second half. He didn't have quite the same contribution. But look, in a series like this, against a team like this, okay, I want to put a guy on the floor who knows what the fuck he's doing. Sorry. Like, that's it. Like, he knows how to handle these kind of situations. He's been in these playoff series before. And honestly, physically, he hasn't lost that much. I mean, he's not obviously Minnesota Kevin Love. He's not Cleveland Kevin Love. But he's been a terrific player for them over the since he came back this last time from the injury, and he got a little bit of time off. And I know that people can say, well, they made the little comeback run, that garbage comeback run, second half, without either Love or Jovic on the floor. No, to me, in this series, Bam Jovic, okay? Bam Love. Love Jovic. Bam Jovic, okay? Let's just that's what this should be, okay? First thing, in terms of defensive rebounding, all the rest of this, but it's just basketball IQ, being able to handle these kind of these scenarios, calming guys down, making the right play, making the outlet pass. Kevin Love needs to be playing 20-plus minutes in this series. I am not saying, again, that's going to change. I agree with Alex. Nothing's going to change the trajectory of this thing. They're not winning this series. We didn't believe so beforehand. But if you're going to make this thing competitive in some way, okay, you don't need to evaluate Kevin Love. He should be back next year if he wants to be. But he's got to be on the floor more often. That's just where I'm at with it. And I, you know, we again, people say we don't criticize Spo. I don't understand the rationale for that. Again, I'm not with the team in Boston. Best decision, I'm the gamer of the night because I didn't spend the $900 on a one-way ticket to get up there. But when he comes, if he hasn't played more by game 3, it is a question I'll ask because I just do not understand why he didn't play more. All right, let's get to it. Let's get to the gamer of the night or day.
And now on 5 on the Floor, it's time for the Gamer of the Night, sponsored by Rock Esports Center, the place to eat, drink, and play all day. Host your next birthday party with them. Located at 15305 South Dixie Highway in Palmetto Bay, they've got a 5,500 square foot state-of-the-art center equipped with all the high-end power. Play all day passes available for just $25, but if you mention 5 reasons, it's just $20. So mention 5 reasons or 5 RSN, you get to play all day for $20. And now, the gamer of the night.
You know what my disappointment about this is? And I said this on Playback too. Well, join us for games. We had more than 150 on there for most of the game today, so we appreciate you. Playback.tv/5RSN. You can watch the game with us. You can mute Doris Burke and the rest of the crew, and you can listen to us for what it's worth. What disappoints me about this is, man, I wish the Heat were healthy for a series against Boston, because I just think this guy would have been an absolute X factor. Like, he would have bleep up, okay, off the bench against Boston. Because you see what he did as a starter today when he's pushed into this role. Jaime Jaquez, I thought, had the right mentality for this game. He was not stopping. He was not perfect, okay? But I mean, like, he just made a decision, like, I'm going to make an impact here one way or the other. And there was no hesitation like we saw from some of the other players. And I for a playoff debut, you know, 36 minutes, 8 of 16 from the floor, 16 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists. He is clearly a guy, I think, as we go forward with this team. I do not know if he's going to be a star, okay? But he is definitely going to be a core rotation player, you know, possible starter for playoff Heat teams in the future. I loved what I saw from him today. He can always get better, but it seems like he has adjusted a little bit to the scouting report. Yeah, that was the three that was nowhere close. And again, there's going to be some stuff in a series like this. But Brady, I thought he, if they all adopted his demeanor, this thing would have been closer.
I mean, it's the guy's first playoff game. And the fact that he was kind of being the tone setter in a lot of ways, like I Bam deserves credit, because I feel like when they went down big early, he was kind of the one that was just hitting tough shots, keeping them in it, keeping the offense in somewhat of a bailout mentality. But Jaime, as you said, like he would not stop. Like he had 16 points. He did not get to the free throw line, I believe, and he did not hit a three. Like it was like pure just buckets inside the arc. And it's what you need when we say baby Jimmy and stepping into his role. It was kind of, I said it before the series, he has to mismatch on. He just has to. Like there's, as I talked about before, Tyler cannot find many advantages. Jaime on paper can find advantages because it's his game. He could just put his back to the basket, go one-on-one, work the footwork, work the pump fakes, work the little turnaround jumper. And he did that in this game. He had kind of good advantages with that turnaround jumper. He found stuff going to the rim. And he's kind of the one guy that's generating paint touches like off drives, like not paint touches off catches like Bam or in these different spots. Like he's one that is driving high usage and getting into the paint, at least getting them into certain spots, because the offense, as we know, has been ugly. So it's real credit to him, because this is making something out of absolutely nothing. Like the fact that he's able to do this in this type of offense without a lot of spacing, like, we talked so much this season about the two-man game of Jaime and Duncan. The main reason was like Jaime is best with spacing. When he has a ton of spacing around him, he can really operate. So the fact that he could do that in this environment, it just says a lot about him. It just says a lot about his offensive growth this season. And look, defensively, I thought he competed. Like I feel like he is a decent matchup for this team. Not that he's going to be perfect defensively. Not that he's going to generate a ton of stops, but he's big enough. He could switch. He could guard a lot of players on this Boston team. That's all you can ask for. You just want to limit as many mismatches as possible, and he can somewhat do that. So I think he's really is built for this type of series. I think he's going to continue to be somebody they lean on. They need, as we talked about putting Tyler off the ball at times, he's pretty much your option. He's your option to go on the ball. Like he's your guy that could kind of set that stuff up. The other guy's Nikola Jovic, but as we've seen, they still are not running a ton of stuff through him. I think they're trying to lean on his spot-up shooting right now just because they lack that as well. And he's looked good in that range. I think Jovic was – this was all the young guys. This was Jaime Jaquez and Nikola Jovic. They scored 14 points in the third quarter. Two of the points came in the last 30 seconds where Bam hit a little flip shot. The 12 points prior in that entire quarter was Jaime Jaquez and Nikola Jovic. They scored all 12 points in that quarter up till that point. This was all them, like Jovic getting the ball off the rim, running the floor, playing in the open floor, kind of getting those to work. He was driving, he was attacking. He did not look scared. He did not look like he had like any fear in his body going at the rim. And we said before, they're not going to beat this Boston team playing in the half court on either end of the floor. Mm-hmm. You have to try, and I know it's scary to speed things up against this team with the way they're shooting. But that's your only advantage right now. Like, you have to do what you did in that fourth quarter. Just try and make things ugly, which is as hard as it possibly, as much as they say make things ugly, it's so hard to do that against this team. But play faster. Just try and we could sit here, as long as we're complaining, the thing we're complaining about in future games is that how bad their transition offense is, we'll live with that. We'll talk about it. Like, that you'll take that at this point. Just, you have to lean on what you have on your roster. Right now, they have a bunch of young guys that need to play fast and play in the open break. So, just keep leaning on Jaime and Jovic.
We say that when you look at role players, they have to be able to play off of your stars, okay? The Heat star is not there. there are other two core guys. One of them is someone who they don't really go to for high volume. Again, Bam today was 10 of 18, 24 points, 6 rebounds. Like you said, he had a stretch where he kept him afloat. He didn't make superstar impact on the game, though. I mean, he was okay. That's kind of where I would put it. And Hero was bad. And so I think what you have now is you've got, like, Jaquez and Jovic. It's like, okay, you can't really play off your stars. That's what we talked about coming into this. It's like, all right, what else can you show? And that really is all the only reason that I wanted them to get out of the play-in at this point, once Jimmy got hurt. See what the two of these guys can offer. I thought they both had moments. Hawkes had more of them. That's why we made him the gamer of the night. And I think that's promising here as we go forward. And I think as you look at it, again, they're evaluating like who's going to step up in these situations. The playoffs tell. I think we believed all year that as long as he got through the rookie wall, that Jaime would be a good playoff player. Like he has the demeanor for it. He has the attitude for it. He has the game for it, frankly. And Jovic, we've seen him in those World Cup games and how much that stuff means to him. So I didn't think we thought either of them would shrink, and I don't think either of them did. And honestly, to me, that's the only positive takeaway from today. The other one, we should mention him here before we go forward, and I recommend you check out the last podcast we put up, which we put up right before the game. So some of you didn't catch it. It's on the back end of a podcast I did with Greg about what this series means. I got a few minutes with DeLon Wright after the game, after playing game the other night, to talk about why, you know, how he's kind of fought through to start playing and what that was like. And he knew how many DNPs he had. He had seven DNPs at one stage. And he said it was because he wasn't in heat shape. He thought he was before he got here. He wasn't, you know, especially when they put him at the top of the zone with Highsmith. And then he had to work his way into heat shape. And now he kind of understands it. And he said that's his belief why he's been getting the minutes over Patty Mills. But I think we need to mention him at least. Like, we can talk about cosmetic and he just got them closer to the spread and all that. He was 5 of 5 from three. I mean, he had 17 points in 26 minutes. So, Alex, I'll ask this question. Like, we see this stuff happen in blowouts all the time, and guys just go off. But there's been an elevation to his game lately with this team as he's worked his way into shape and kind of understood his role. And he told me this is really the first time or only time in his career, other than when he played off Luka briefly in Dallas, that he's been – his offensive role has pretty much been off the ball, catch, and shoot. Well, I mean, he made 5 threes. Is there any argument to be made for him just playing more in this series, or are we just saying it was garbage time?
I mean, it could be both things, right? Like, it was a fake comeback for sure. I don't think you take any solace with that comeback, but it was fun, right? Like, I was there on playback, and I don't think like any of us were having fun watching him be down 35 or whatever it was. So for him to kind of look like T-Mac or Reggie Miller there, just hitting a bunch of threes in very little time was pretty fun. You know, wasn't expecting that. But I do think he played well throughout the game and is obviously, like I've said before, I think he's played well most of the times he's actually gotten a chance to play for the Heat. And I think he is a big part. You could tell Spo has already increased his role, obviously, because of guys out. But I think also because of the way he's played. I think he's somebody who, if you're really just trying to lean into the defensive identity, which I'm going to get into here because that's what I'm – honestly, I think I'm more upset about the defense than the offense. But if you're going to lean into the defensive identity here, I think DeLon is a big part of that. And, of course, him, like, making these threes is very encouraging to see. Like, at one point, it was Haywood who was making a lot of threes. So there's, like, you know, there's three-point shooting variants involved with guys who are, you know, career, like, okay three-point shooters at best. I'm not expecting him to be knocked down now. But I do think, if I'm being real, I like his aesthetically, how it looks more than Haywood's. And I thought today, you know, besides that, more importantly, Haywood was just – very hesitant on the offensive side. Not that you want him doing too much or putting up a bunch of shots, but I do think there was a couple of moments in the game where it's like, just take the open one, right? Like, they're not creating good looks anyway. I'm glad that he tries to make the right play and move the ball. I think DeLon was just, you know, was just firing out there and whatever. I think that is less important than their defense as a team. And I think they started off that game hot, the Celtics did. Not all of it was because of defensive mistakes from the Heat or anything. They started really hot. I think it was 12-0 or 14-2. And the Heat started to kind of bring it back there with, you know, some kind of questionable offensive process, kind of a lot of one-on-one stuff. And, you know, shout out Bam for getting those early buckets there, just kind of break the ice. Again, not great process, but they just needed the buckets at that point. What I want to get to here is the defense. After they were kind of able to bring it back, that stretch right there to me was the best stretch of defense they played throughout the entire game, and I didn't see it come back. It was like a miniature version of what they did versus the Sixers. It was just a much shorter period of time. Like, I think they did it for a longer period of time in the Sixers game where they just flashed like great defense. I think they flashed like a couple of minutes of great defense in that, you know, was it late in that first quarter or early in the second, whenever it was. Outside of that, it was not good. I thought they were panicking and scrambling for most of that game when the game was still in hand. Like there was a point there where they brought it back and it's like, oh, you know, down 14 or whatever at the half. Like it could be worse. People are going to point to the 3-point shooting and we have to talk about it, right? They shot 22 of 46 from three, the Celtics did, and the Heat could not buy a 3-pointer to start that game. Finished 12 of 36, 33%. Not great, right? A lot of people, I think, are going to point to the shooting and be like, oh, well, you know, they're not always going to shoot that great. And I understand that. They are not going to be shooting 49% from three and also 59% from the mid-range all series long. It's not going to happen. The problem is how you let it get there in the first place. There was so many wide open threes given up, I think, because of, like, you know, miscommunication or somebody made a mistake. And I think they got in a really nice rhythm early on, you know, with that the nice start they had. And then they keep seeing wide open threes. They know that you're going to double. You know, they were doubling out of a zone at one point. And then it's just swing, swing, easy swing for Tatum. And they're going to find a wide open three. That stretch early where Hauser hit like three in a row and Bam was out there rotating to the three-point line out of a zone. That is not supposed to happen. Like, you're going to have to live and die with Tatum, Brown, Porzingis, and Derek White, of course, making tough shots. And I think just sending early doubles, sending early help, I don't think that's the move here. Like, I understand, and I know we all clamored for Spo to throw everything he's got. That's not what we meant. I think you're just making it easy for them if they're going to keep seeing those early doubles and early help, there's an easy solution to it. You just swing, swing, and it's wide open. I think you have to let Tatum and Brown create for themselves. You know, you put pressure on them with your good defenders. If they get a bad switch, you send the help at the right time. I think they're doing it too early, and I think they end up scrambling as a result. They get in a rhythm, and then they start making these really tough ones once they start feeling good about themselves. Because these are all human beings. Like, you start seeing some of them go through, you already think you have a huge advantage on this team on paper. Like, they're not scared of the Heat in the state they're in right now. No. So you see some of them go in, and it's like, okay, here we go. The rim is open. It's looking like a damn ocean out there. They have Porzingis talking on the sideline there, all smiley. Like, they're all in a great mood. They're like, yeah, these guys are nothing. And I think you're giving them these open looks and, like, easy solutions. That's not the way to muck it up. Like, they beat you at your own game with points off turnovers and turnovers. So you didn't do that part. You get out-rebounded by 10. You give up a 115 half-court offensive rating, which is 89th percentile. That's the stuff you can't do. The only thing you could point at is that the Celtics shot 7 of 16 at the rim, which is really nice to see, right? Like, you can point to that and be like, if they can keep the Celtics away from the rim without taking just completely wide open jump shots, then you've got something. If they can just stay sharp in their defensive game plan and not make mistakes and overhelp and scramble and all of that stuff, that there might be a path. But they've got to play such a damn, like, picture perfect game plan and execute it to a T just to be competitive in this series. And they absolutely, absolutely did not do that tonight. Like, you just to finish it off here, I know I'm rambling at this point. 7 of 18 for Tatum. You know, that's not good, but 10 to 3 assists or turnovers. How often have you seen that in the Heat Celtics series before? It's supposed to be the other way around. It's supposed to be a lot of turnovers for Tatum.
Well, they had 27 assists overall tonight. You mentioned the variance. The Heat's variance shooters today, with the exception of DeLon, all bombed. Haywood was 0 for 4. Caleb was 0 for 4. Bam took the two threes, but, I mean, you guys know how I feel about that. And Hawkins, who did everything else well, most other things well, was 0 for 2. But, again, the Caleb Highsmith, you know, the 0 for 8 there, like, that's, you know, again, we've seen both of them have gone through these stretches this year where, you know, they're on fire for, like, 2 weeks, and then it goes the other direction. And it's just both of them have – their form is such that it just goes. Like, it just seems like – you know, Caleb, I don't know how Caleb's going to shoot it now. Like, it's every time he's kicking out a different leg. He's shooting it at a different point of his release. I don't know. It's coming from everywhere. And Highsmith, pretty much the same tonight. But you're right. I mean, look, the defense, it's funny because we talk about with the Celtics, Brady, that, and we'll get to the play of the night here in a second. We talk about with the Celtics. All right. Well, the way to beat them is to kind of get them to the fourth quarter when they're shooting a ton of threes and then they go cold from three, right? At least I've heard Windhorst talking about this on ESPN and other places and on his podcast. Then they go cold from three and then that's your opportunity, right? But if their shots are going to be that wide open, they're probably not going to go cold. And that was really the thing tonight. And again, you take Tatum out of the equation. Their other guys were 21 of 41 from three. I mean, Porzingis, 4 of 8. Holiday, who's not a great three-point shooter on volume, 2 of 4. Derek White, 4 of 8. Jaylen Brown, 3 of 5. Sam Hauser, God, was he open? 4 of 6. Al Horford, 2 of 5. Pritchard, 2 of 5. So you're talking about, other than Tatum, there are other 7 guys who played. They only played 8, all had at least 2 threes, and all shot at least 40% from three. All of them. This was not like a help-off one-guy problem. It was a help-off-everybody problem. And, I, you know, they give up threes. The Heat give up threes. We talk about that all the time. But the percentages came down this year a little bit in terms of what was shot against them. What do you do? And then we'll get to the play of the night here in a second, and we'll get to the injury report. But what do? Do you just keep letting them shoot threes? Like, is that a thing? And they get cold eventually?
Well, they're going to still shoot threes. That's what they do. That's what Miami allows. But it's about allowing the right ones. Like, the issue is, Alex talked about it when we did our preview, where he said, like, they don't have another guy. They don't have a guy to help off of. Like, this isn't previous Celtic rosters. Like, that's kind of the problem we're hitting right now, is when we're talking about this. Like, they don't have a guy that could say, okay, we can help off of him. But the big thing, and he was just hitting on it, you cannot double in the zone. Like, that's just number one. You just said it. Like, the reason they have so – it's not one guy hurting them and it's everybody shooting 40% is because it's whoever's in the weak side corner. It's whoever's on the weak side and who's the one pass away guy. Like, it's just – it could be anybody. It's just who's ever sitting there, because they get in their position. Tatum has a guy on his back. He waits. He waits like 4 seconds. Miami brings that top guy on the zone down to double. Swing, and a three. You have to live with those matchups. You just do. You have to live. You have good enough defenders on this team that you're going to play Haywood 36 minutes a night. You have to live with these one-on-one shots. And look, if they start hitting a bunch of mid-range shots at an incredible level and they start attacking, at least you're playing the numbers game a little bit. And it's not just a crazy number of threes that are going your way, where maybe you could survive some runs because you're playing in that way. Like, that's almost the point you're hitting. But you have to balance the defensive coverages. You have to kind of mix things up, as we've talked about in the past. Porzingis is the big thing, because you don't have as many cards to pull at this point when Porzingis is on the floor, because if they're in the zone, they'll put him in the middle and he can kind of spray out. You cannot just kind of sit and you know, put Kevin Love and Porzingis and play and drop, because that pick and pop will just pick you apart. So there's a bunch of things that can kind of hurt you in that way. But there's a lot of things. I think that they have 48 plus hours to make adjustments now for game two. And there are a decent amount of kind of adjustments they can make. But the last thing I'll say is, going back to my point before about playing faster and playing the open floor, the reason you need to do it more than ever is you are not going to get to the line. You are absolutely not going to get to the free throw line. Look, Boston's probably not really going to get to the line a ton either, the way they're shooting threes. If they're just going to sit on the outside all night, probably neither team's going to get to the line. But Miami's not. We talked about it before the series. I asked you, I was like, not counting Bam, who's the guy that's going to get to the line 5 times a night in this series? And there's not that guy. They don't have anybody to do it. They ended up getting, what, six times in this game, and 4 of them were Bam, and 2 of them were Jovic. So you have this position now where, if you're not going to be able to slow the game down like they have in the past with Jimmy in these series, where he could kind of just muck things up offensively just by slowing the pace down and making them inbound the ball off their free throws, you have to play faster. You have to kind of play in that way. And the real advantage to playing faster would be if some way you could consistently turn this team over. And that's the issue. If you could find ways to turn them over, but with the style that they were playing tonight, it's going to be hard to if they're just swinging.
Did they have a live ball turnover the whole game? I feel like DeLon almost got one. I don't know that they did, actually. And I don't know how you – look, this team doesn't play well in transition to begin with. But I don't know how you get into transition without a live ball turnover. Like, the Heat aren't going to run off of makes, right? So, I mean, even though they have more of a running group and they said that they wanted to, they don't make good decisions on the break. And so they need the live ball turnover to have at least numbers advantages. And they didn't get any of those today. And again, I think it plays into a lot of what Alex was talking about, just the strange helping off, the doubling. We did talk about a kitchen sink philosophy for Spo, but I don't know what was in the sink, because there was a lot of garbage out there today, and I get it. He's gonna have to do different things throughout the series, but some of the things we wanted to see, unclog it, right? Drano, something like that. Because it looked to me like you don't. I mean, again, you didn't put the ball in Jovic's hands as much as we thought. Love not playing enough, and all of these things may be a lot of talk about nothing without Jimmy and without Terry, and you were going to be underdogs even with them. But the things that were tried today, with the exception of just throwing DeLon Wright out there in the fourth quarter and letting him cook, I mean, there really wasn't a whole lot else that went right today. All right, let's get to the play of the night, and this one might be a struggle.
And now it's time for the Insurance by Lynette Play of the Night, sponsored by InsuranceByLynette.com and A Aggressive Insurance Agency. You can reach out to our friend Lynette at 954-581-8800. That's 954-581-8800 or InsuranceByLynette.com. That's InsuranceByLynette.com with two N's and two T's. Your best play for auto insurance, homeowners insurance, condo insurance, life insurance, or a retirement program. Reach out to Lynette at insurancebylynette.com.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, so the play of the night, there was this one sequence. Do we remember it? It was kind of when they were making their push back into the game. It ended with a Jovic three. Do you remember that? Like, everybody touched the ball, like 10 guys. Do we even remember this? Did I invent this? So figuring in my imagination. Wasn't there a possession? We were on playback, and then I said, that's the play of the night. They got 10 guys, like, I mean, not 10 guys, but all five touched it at least twice, and they ended. Okay, I don't know. You got a play of the night, the either of you?
I've got nothing.
Caleb and Jaylen Brown at the end. Like, what are we doing here? Like, I don't, I, you know.
DeLon's 5-3 sequence was the best.
DeLon's 5-3s. That's it.
And
that's it.
And the reason that's the play of the game, right? To summarize it, the reason it's the play of the game is the only way you're going to steal games in the series is if weird stuff happens. Like, you have to have some unpredictable things happen, like DeLon Wright hitting 5-3s. And I'm not saying that's going to be the case in the next few games, like that's gonna be it again, but that type of stuff has to happen in these games when you're under ban. So I mean, that's I don't know who the next guy is that's gonna do something like that. Like, is it gonna be Haywood that kind of catches fire at some point? I mean, the guy I know we talked about him a little bit, but the swing player is Caleb. He is, like, yeah. If he can, because he's, we have, when we talk about players, there's the defensive players, there's the catch and shoot players, everybody kind of has a role in this team when we look at this roster right now. Caleb's the guy that you don't know what he is, like, on any given night. Like, he can be randomly hit spot ups. He could randomly turn into an attack player. He could randomly turn into a transition player. And he could start defending like crazy at certain points. So it's like, he's the guy that can swing things. They need him to be the weird player that just weirdly gets hot. Like, that's what you kind of lean on right now, it feels like.
So we're going to be having a lot of conversations after the series. We talked about it before the series, that some guys could make their names here to a certain degree, and some could kind of play their way out. After game one, it's just one game. DeLon Wright, to me, and it's not just because of tonight, it's because what we've seen the last couple of weeks. To me, if he wants a minimum contract next year to come back to the Heat, you bring him back. That's where I'm at with it. And that may actually play into other decisions, because Haywood's bad shooting night tonight, I still think that there is a desire in the organization to bring him back at a number they're comfortable with. So if Josh Richardson, who we haven't talked about in a long time, is going to opt in, which I believe he will, coming off the injury, with the Heat. Well, forget Thomas Bryant, because I'm talking more about the back with the wing situation here. But
because of the money that they'll have available below the second apron.
Correct. Okay. No, I know you're getting technical. I mean, I understand that. But what I'm getting at here is more, you get Josh to re-sign where he's at, right? That minimum deal. Because, yeah, they're going to bring Love back, too. So that plays into the Thomas Bryant thing. They should bring Love back. Honestly, that would be my first thing I do. Are you coming back? Yes. Okay, we're good. At midnight. That's your midnight signing. Oh, God. Heat fans are going to be so pissed about that. Kevin's going to take the brunt of that when he doesn't deserve it. You bring back Josh, right? You bring him back Haywood. I think you bring him back DeLon. Hawkes has popped. I think the Caleb writing's on the wall right now, right? Like, isn't that where? That's why I'm saying this. I mean, you're looking at all these wings. I just can't see if he opts in. It's one thing. If he opts in, I still think he's going to opt out. And again, we have plenty of time to discuss this in the future. But I just want to hit on it since Brady mentioned it. He has to distinguish himself in this series. Like he's got to make you feel like they have to keep that guy. And there was nothing today that told you that. And that's I think that is. Even though they're undermanned and they're overwhelmed and all the rest of the stuff, and we didn't believe they were going to win the series, there are certain things to watch, and Caleb was one of them. You didn't get Eastern Conference Finals MVP or near MVP Caleb today. You kind of just got a guy, and that doesn't make him the biggest culprit today. I think the defense was the biggest culprit, and I'd put Tyler too, and the fact that the Celtics are just really good. But Caleb didn't make an impact today, and he's got to make one the rest of the series before they go forward. Yes, I got a message here. Ethan, save the topic for other podcasts. We have months for it. We've already decided. We're literally going to do – what do we say? We're going to do a different podcast every day on every free agent. We're going to go all the way down to the minimum guys. Then we're going to do a different podcast every day on every draft prospect.
Don't forget the player review.
Every coaching candidate. Oh, the player review is good.
Grades to every Heat player.
We're going to grade every Heat player. You're not getting rid of us.
Then we throw an all-time draft in there.
Oh, no, we've done that. But we can bring that back, right? Then we're going to draft members of Five Reasons Sports Network. We're going to draft commenters. We're going to do all that kind of crap.
Got the Olympics, the draft, free agency. Get ready, y'all.
Oh, this is all great. All right, unless the Heat come back series in five. Right, Heat in five.
Don't let them get one, Ethan. Don't let them get the next one.
Don't let them get one. Don't let DeLon back on the court. So don't let them get one. All right. We appreciate it. Thanks to Brady. Thanks to Alex. Thanks to our sponsors, Rock Esports, EricRubenstein.com, and also InsuranceByLynette.com. We will have podcasts over the next couple of days. Coach Tony's going to join us one of those 2 days. We might just talk about fan stuff with him because he got heated with Kendrick Perkins and Michael Wilbon going off on Heat fans. Make sure you guys arrive early to game three so that, you know, you don't get called out again by ESPN. All right, thanks to everybody. He's prompting me. Discord, $2.99 per month. Sign up for Off the Floor. Love y'all. Celtics up 1-0.
American Giant makes great clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, and more right here in the U.S. Visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.